wrestle with the Lord on Friday morning. My wife came out. Beauty, that'll be better. My wife came out, found a blubbering mess in the chair, because at 6 o'clock of the morning I get up and sit in a chair and just pray and read and do different things. The only problem was I had woken up earlier, much earlier than 6 o'clock. And you know what it's like, you know, and the Holy Spirit's in your head and you yourself, beauty, you know, this is going to be really good. And I was there and he just reduced me to tears. And I thought, Lord, I have this message that he's, because Pastor Jill had rung a little while ago. Now, this is just the preface into things, all right? This is not the message. But she'd given me this, you know, heads up that I would preach today, and I thought, oh, well, that's good. I've sort of already got an outline and things like that. But then as I was going through it, the Lord said to me, Steve, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this. And I went, I can't tell them that. That's exactly right. That was how I felt. I was scared. You know how it felt? You know, when Jonah comes, God comes to Jonah and says, Jonah, you're going to go to Nineveh and you're going to preach my word out there. No, I'm not. That's not what I want to do. I actually want to tell them that they're corrupt, or they're da-da-da-da-da-da. And on. And he said, well, that's fair enough. So, you know, Jonah ducks down to the river and says, put me on a boat, I'm going. Don't want to do what God wants me to do. And, you know, God brings a storm. Well, Friday morning was a bit like that. It was a bit like a storm. But then, you know, eventually God gets him to the city of Nineveh, right? What does Jonah do? He sits down and he starts to sulk. And God goes, I'll grow a vine over him so he doesn't get too sunburnt, so that he can continue to go with my work. I'm not going in there. Now, see, this Nineveh is a big city. It's 120,000 odd people. He doesn't have social media. He doesn't have microphones. He doesn't have the news outlets. He doesn't have all sorts of things. And God's asked him to go out and take this message. I can understand why he was a bit nervous. Right, but they were heathens. They deserved to get the word of God spoken to them. You lot aren't like that. And I was thinking, I can't go and tell Janine that word. I can't go and tell Eileen. These are faithful, loving people of God. And God said, yes, now you know my heart. And my heart is that I love them so much more than you do, that you need to go and take this to them. And I went, okay, Lord, that's... So let's just... I'm just going to ask you firstly, just to still your hearts for a moment. And it might even be for a minute or two, or three. But I'm going to ask you to do something for yourself that you're going to find hard to do. And that's to switch off expectation for what you believe should happen right now, what you believe the word should be. And I'm going to ask you now to have an expectation of what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Lord, as we just commit this time into your hands, Father, we offer ourselves up to you as living sacrifices. Father, that we might die to self in this place today. And Father, I open ourselves up to you. Father, to continue the good work that you've begun in us, Father. Or if you don't even know Jesus yet, to begin the journey of the good work that he's begun. And Lord, we allow you, Father, to every area. Our minds, Father, to our hearts, Father, to every area. Father, even those hidden, those areas where we don't necessarily want others to know about, Father. We just open those up to you today. And Lord, we give you glory. We honor you and we praise you, for you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And Father, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, minister to each and every person in this place as we give you honor and glory, Jesus. Amen. The title for my message is The Blood, the Cross, and the Church. Pretty simple. Most things most of us have got an awareness of. But I did a lot of notes. There's pages and pages of notes. But I want to put this to you first, that as a Christian, Jesus, in the book of John, chapter 6, and if you want to read the whole of John and 6, it's an amazing passage of time. But Jesus is with his disciples, and his disciples start to ask him questions and different things. And we find that a lot of the people couldn't believe what Jesus was speaking, and they walked away. And today, I'm going to ask you that the first thing we need to do as Christians is believe that God is who he says he is. Once we get that squared away, then there's no problems. We don't have to every day wake up and think, will God, is God, is this truth, is that. If we believe that God is who he says he is, we can allow the angst and the problems and the challenges by this act of faith to believe. And Jesus says to his disciples in John 6 and 29, they ask him, they say, Jesus, what must we do? What work you require of us? And Jesus says to them, he says these words, the work that my Father requires, that you believe in the one whom he sent. I'm where I'm with people, born again, faithful people, but they keep going around and around this mountain. They're finding that their life doesn't, you know, come to this place and then things are better or worse. They never seem to. Now, we've got a beautiful book that our humanness, and the Israelites spent 40 years, right, wandering around in a desert. All right, let us not be like that, wandering around in a desert, because we haven't come to the quiet of us. Is this me clicking in and out, Royce? Loose connection. It'll be all right. That's not what we want. We want a strong connection with God. Okay, we want a strong connection. So the first thing, we've got to get that squared away. Let our faith arise in the belief that Jesus is who he says he is. He has completed the work. It is done. We don't have to doubt it, fear it, worry about it. We have to believe, and then we've got a choice, haven't we? All right? Because as Christians, you realize that everything we do is of our own free will. Our own choice is what we do. God has created and done and made a way for us. It's up to us to step into it. And I was thinking, Lord, I can't tell these faithful people in here that, to start with, that you just need to believe in God and believe that he's completed what he's done. If he says, yeah, he's healed you. All right? But what do? We find when that question's posed to us, well, did God really, does really, is he really, are we really? And we go out, we have the doubts, we carry them away. He's done. He's done the work. Now, if we've accepted that, then only one of us can have our way. If we've accepted that God is who he is and who he says he is, then only he, if we want what he offers, only he can have his way. Now, Chrissy spoke just a little while back that Jesus said to Nicodemus, and we heard this from Pastor Peter Frogley, that you must be born again. The old corrupt nature has to die. It has to die. There is a new seed planted in you, an incorruptible seed planted, but it must now begin to grow. It must be the one that takes over your life. You can't keep giving over to the old nature. You can't keep giving over to the old nature. Anything with two heads is a monster. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As born-again believers, we're in a place where we now have a choice. We can pander to the old, or we can allow the seed that's planted in us now to be grown up and looked after, nurtured, and now that the Holy Spirit growing in us, dwelling in us, giving us the strength, giving us the abilities, giving us the things to go out and take God's word to the kingdom, to this dark world out there. Because it tells us that where I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. How does that make it to us? Is that makes evangelism easy for us. We go out and we can speak about Jesus and he will draw all men unto himself. The Holy Spirit, that's his whole ministry on earth, is to testify of Jesus, to speak Jesus, to talk of him, to tell of what he's done, to be able to cement it into us so that we can continue to grow in the measure of faith that's been given to us. To this, and I can tell you the fact that one thing today is that all of us are on this journey. And do you know how I know that? Because you're here. All right? Is if we weren't, if we were already completed, we're not here. Okay? Because we will not be completed until we enter into his presence. But we can and we will be transformed if we will allow ourselves to have that happen to us. But it comes as a choice. It comes that we can choose Christian disciplines. We can choose to do what the Word, you know, the Holy Spirit knows the Word. If you have trouble, you know, not being able to remember Scripture, get on your face. Get the Holy Spirit. He knows the Word. He is the Word. He won't leave you short, okay? He is right there. But the old has to pass away. All things must become new in Christ. We are crucified with Christ. I'll actually go to my notes for a sec for you. If I can find the right bit. Now, Janine knew that at some point preaching again and I'd need some help. So Janine gave me a bag of books. All right? So the library of Janine is open, isn't it, Janine? If you need a really good book, just ask Janine. Now Janine decided that I probably needed more than one book, so she gave me a bag full. But that's really good. Okay, and out of that, I did pick four to read out of that. One was From Prison to Praise by a bloke called Merlin Carruthers, an army chaplain. And I picked up another one. Can't even remember who they were. I did write them down. I'll just go to that bit, the bit I wrote about Janine giving me all these beautiful books. But anyway, whatever they all were, they were great. There was a beautiful one that you loved, Linda, on the Spirit, Psalms, the praise coming out of the spirits, from the Spirit. The other book that you gave me from So if I start sounding like a, you know, 19th or 20th century evangelist pastor sort of thing, all right, you'll know it's Janine's fault. Okay, she did it to me. Oh, here it is. Look, it's on this page. All right, so praise. Chaplain Merlin Carruthers. Power, Charles Spurgeon. The Heart of Praise, Jack Hayford. And then there was another one I picked up from Watchman Nee. The Normal Christian Life. Normal Christian life. What is a normal Christian life? And I started to read it and I went, well, that's pretty intriguing, isn't it? Normal Christian life. And what is that? Is that when we realise that the blood has paid the price, that when you understand that, that part's done and we can come. The blood, that's its role. It's a bit like, you know, at the Passover where they went out and they painted the blood over the lintels and the beam. And God recognized that there and swept past. That's our lives. It doesn't actually clean up the mess in us. All right, it's like what God did there at that point. What happens next is we come to a place called the cross. This is where then the next part takes place. This is where we are crucified with Christ, our old nature at that point, surrendered, given up. Now that God's watched over us, he's allowed us to come to this place, dies off. It has to go. There is nothing good in our old nature. One of the beautiful scriptures that that he gave me in here, and I've messed my notes up, put them everywhere. John 6:63. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. And a lot of us, a lot of you like me, I like to come in thinking that there's something of value in myself. You know, growing up, I was a good person who believed in God, didn't necessarily think I did anything really badly wrong out there. Probably wasn't any need for me to be saved. You know, I've got it all together. I'm a good steward in the community. I'm a, you know, good husband to my wife. I'm a good father to my children. All of these things. I'm thinking, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty valuable, right? And then I get saved and God says, but there's nothing of you, Steve, that I need to bring. I need you to die to yourself. I need you to die as a living sacrifice to me. And let me my will in you. And I went, yeah, well, my old nature didn't like that. My old nature doesn't. And you probably notice as you read the Bible, the Bible is not a book about human success and how good we are. What the Bible does is identify for us how there is nothing of us that needs to come, but it is all of Christ has to be there. And when I was thinking, why do you want me to tell these people this? He's saying because the church has to come to a different place. The church has to now start to grow up in his strength. not about what we might have done, what who we might think we are, what we think we have, not our money or all the bits and pieces that we have. It's about him in us. Each one of us stepping out that door, the old has to pass away. The new has to come. It has to grow up in us. So where does that leave us? What's the choice you're making each day? If the first thing you believe is that God is who he says he is, what's the first thing you do? Are you on your face thanking him in the recognition of who he is, in all things giving praise to him? You know, we often hear this, if you pray in the perfect will of God, it will be done. Well, what is the will of God? I've looked through scripture and I can tell you that one of the things is that God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. If you go to John, the book of John and 6 and 40, he tells us that in there. This is what you'll find. This is the will of the Father, that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. He also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, 15, 16, he says, in all things give praise. In all things, pray without ceasing and give thanks always, for this is the will of God for you. They're congruent, aren't they? Those two things, all right? Nothing else but those two things, all right? We'd be a long way ahead. Is your life today in a place it is reflective of the God whom you believe in? Do you find yourself on Sunday mornings in a place where you're going distracted? I don't think I'll go today. Oh, there's a bit going on. I don't think I'll be there. Oh, we've got something coming up. Oh, I think this is happening. Is God's really clear? He's done what he has done, us. But what are we prepared to die to? What are we prepared to surrender and now do for him what he has asked of us? I really ask you that question today. Because as I say, God is looking back for his church, a body of believers knit together in one place, in one accord. Enormous amount of activity that takes place in the church. There's the ministry. If you're a lone wolf out there, I guarantee you the fivefold ministry is not in operation. Try that. I guarantee you, if you're out there by yourself, Satan will pick you off very quickly. The fivefold ministry that is here for the edification, for the teaching, for the lifting up, for the provision for the saints, doesn't operate in one person, in one place, by yourself. It operates in the church. It's here. We have our teacher who brings us each week prepared lessons. We have our Pastor Julie. Probably one of the areas of the fivefold ministry that we probably won't find in the local church is probably an apostle or a prophet. We may have people who bring words in the house, but the ministry of those two areas is a greater ministry, and it's recognized in the body of Christ. These people knit together, gathering together. That's this, the church. This is what God's coming for. This is Jesus' bride. This is who he's coming to be with. Doesn't that excite you? All right? But he's coming for a bride without spot or blemish. All right? I encourage you today, the old that is in us has to die. We have to no longer give way to the temptations that our old nature wants to bring. Yeah, where it says, you're tired. Yeah, you're too tired. Well, rise up, old soul. Give praise to the Lord, all right? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, all right? Is I know as I look around, is we're not at the early beginnings of our lives. Most of us are well progressed down the track, okay? But that's exciting because that means we've got experiences. We've got, you know, we've got years of the Word of God in us. We've got amazing things. We've probably died to most of ourselves along the way, and there's probably only tiny little areas that God wants to deal with. But I really encourage you, present yourself today, a living sacrifice before God. Now, I'm just going to, as I said, it wasn't easy for me to come and tell any of you that, all right? It's not easy for me to tell anyone that we have to die to ourselves. Because your old nature, like mine, doesn't want to hear that. And I would like to think that you would still like me, all right? I don't want to go and tell people something and then not have them like me, all right? And most of us are like that, aren't we? We really don't want to annoy someone else. We want them to like us. But then if you're thinking, oh, Lord, how am I going to tell them that and they still like me? He goes, it's all right. I've got it under control. But I'll just give you this is a promise sealed with Jesus' blood. Set your mind on things above, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And then he goes on in 64 and he says, but there are some of you who do not believe. When you're baptized into Christ, we now have his mind. We begin to think like him. How do we know what he is thinking? We have his word, and his word is truth. We've been taught to fear adversity because in our own strength, most times, there is nothing we can do. But in Jesus, I can do all things. If we don't face adversity, we can't know our level of faith and our strength in Christ. When we are tested, we can do a self-assessment. And in that, Jesus asks us to check yourself, to have a look. And how do we do that? We can know by the fruit. How's the fruit growing? We heard it this morning, did we not? Jill speaking about a tree full of fruit, ready to be shaken. How's our fruit going? Jesus tells us also that if we come to church and we take of communion unworthily, right, if we're carrying unforgiveness in us, that we will have sickness. There will be things come to pass. Let's not be those people. Let's do what God asks. Let us forgive. Let us have the fruit of the Spirit grow in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, this one. Who wants this one? None of us do. Self-control or long-suffering. How do you get long-suffering without suffering long? I don't know about that one, all right? But it's a good one. Okay, so if we look, we're made right in the eyes of God by the blood. The blood procures our pardon. But so now that we don't get caught in confusion and be condemned by the continuing sin that happens, even when we don't want to, we now need to be delivered from our old nature. The cross where we are crucified with Christ, and Jesus spoke this to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. The blood procures our pardon for what we have done. The cross procures our deliverance from what we are. We are born of an Adam with an Adamic nature. That has to die off. Old things must pass away. We must become new. So let's open our Bibles and go to 1 Peter. Now, I've been reading out of my other Bible at home. I had a paper clip on the page, and I would have just gone like that, and it would have opened to the right place. It'll be on the
behind me, because my amazing secretary, helper, and Julie's amazing secretary and helper has put it on the thing behind us. So let's look at what Peter says. So you don't think I'm just telling you a fib here and it's all made up. So 1 Peter 1 and beginning at 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. This is us. This is us. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That you may grow thereby. The seed's been planted, but it has to grow. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now I was going to go back there because in Psalm 34, and this is, if I just quickly, Psalm 34 and 8, and it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. If we go right back to the question I asked, do you believe that God is who he says he is? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual services acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stumbling block and a rock of offence. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that beautiful? That's why you're called to a church, a body of believers knit together in one place, in one accord, carrying the Holy Spirit in this earthly vessel, because the Holy Spirit's ministry on earth is to proclaim Jesus, to testify of Jesus. If you can't do anything else, but in all things, giving praise, praying without ceasing, giving thanks always, and speaking Jesus. Just speak of him. Acknowledge him. Tell people of the gift of Jesus Christ, the beauty and the marvel that he is, how precious his blood was that was shed for each and every one of us, how he loved us more than we can ever love anyone or ourselves even. He loved us so dearly. He went to a cross. Do you imagine that the picture of the church, what do you think the church looks like? Do you imagine it as three crosses on a hill? Two criminals, blood and gore, a crowd that's chanting, crucify him, crucify him, not thinking as we do here in the church, that we love him and glorify him. But this is the picture of the church, that there's three crosses, two with criminals, but where's God? He's in the middle of the muck, in the middle of the mire, in the middle of whatever it is that's gone on in our lives. Where is God? He is in the middle. And he's asking us today, will we make him the center of our lives? Will we do that? So, Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your word in this house. Father, as we give you glory, we're going to pray. Just pray your spirit over each and every one of us, Father. Lord, that you will take these words that have been spoken today, and Father, you will bring a new conviction on each and every one of us, Father. That, Father, even though there might be areas we don't even know about yet, Father, that you will just clean them up, Father. You will bring us to that place, Father, that we've completely surrendered to you, that we might be holy, Father, to be holy, set apart for the work of God, to be set apart, Lord, that you would take us, Father, you would minister to us, you would wash us in that precious blood, wash us in the word, that we would no longer be conformed to this world but transformed by the washing of your word over our minds, Father. And Lord, that we would grow from this place, even if it's just the beginning of a seed today, Father. But Lord, that we would take and be nurtured by your word, by the water that washes over us, that all comes from you, the Father of lights. And Father, we just surrender ourselves to you today and ask, have your way in us, Lord, as we humble ourselves. Lord, you promise you will. If the people will humble themselves and pray, you will exalt that nation, Father. And Lord, we do today. Father, each and every one of us, we humble ourselves before you. And I'm just going to encourage, as the music begins to play, we've got three beautiful songs. Let's not